Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Brock Huard is going to be with us today. We'll visit with Brock Huard, ESPN college football analyst. That is coming up in hour number two. Jake Plummer in about 20 minutes, our weekly conversation with Jake Plummer, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. I do want to talk to Brock about the Michigan rumors. I saw where Joe Pequeno of CBS 5 here in town actually tweeted something that went national. Good for Joe. On Michigan offering Jim Harbaugh the story, the job there, and whether it comes to fruition or not. I had some people sending me notes last night. How does the story of Jim Harbaugh going to Michigan break in Phoenix? So that was kind of interesting. We're going to talk about some of the other things going on in the college football world, but also Brock is ESPN Radio's morning host in Seattle. Good friend, long time, has a great show. And we're going to talk about the Seahawks and the Cardinals in Sunday's showdown. Jake Plummer, the Ryan Lindley stuff has been dissected. You know, Ryan Lindley's never thrown a touchdown pass. 7 interceptions, no touchdown passes. So if he throws a touchdown pass in Sunday night's game against the Seahawks, does he go to the person who he throws the ball to for the score? Does he go to Fitz and say, I want that ball? What if the ball ends up getting thrown into the stands, like a baseball deal? What if the guy, nobody realizes it in the heat of the moment, they're so caught up, and Cannizzaro kicks the ball for the extra point and he misses the net? There's 100 different things that I thought of in this space, because Ryan Lindley's never thrown a touchdown pass in the NFL. The Cardinals' hopes rest on a quarterback, and I'm not bagging on him. It's just that's what we have here this week. That's what makes the story Sunday night so compelling. Through the course of a regular season of NFL games, there's some weeks where it's like watching pigs mate. It's not pretty. Nobody wants to see it, right? And it's the NFL. The NFL is all-consuming. But, you know, there's certain weeks where teams just aren't playing well. The game against the Falcons, burn the film, move on. Nobody wants to see it happen. I can't wait for this Sunday night's game. The NFL has been very smart in having the divisional games late in the season. I cannot wait for this game. There's weeks where the Cardinals are playing games where, yeah, it's Detroit. It's fine. It's fine. It's a game. It's the Raiders. It's fine. It's a game. It's the Chiefs. It's okay. You know, is that, Eric, are you in the same boat as I'm in on this? This week is great. Could you imagine being in Washington and having to sit there and go through the RG3 stuff all year long and try to get amped up as a city for Philadelphia? No. Could you imagine being in Chicago this week and having Jimmy Stinkin' Clausen have to walk out on the field to lead you, and the Bears just being so dreadful, so awful?
I got one for you.
Yeah.
Tennessee-Jacksonville tonight on Thursday Night Football. Let that settle in for a minute.
Okay, so this is easily the worst matchup in the history of primetime television. Easily.
They always have to do this, though. That's the thing about Jacksonville. Have you noticed? Because they want all the teams to get at least one primetime game.
Sure.
And Thursday Night Football, they always try to hide the Jags, like, kind of later in the year where no one maybe won't notice them. But when you're playing a really bad team in Tennessee, then it's just a complete dog. And tonight is a complete dog.
But part of that is there's people that have already started their vacations for Christmas and Hanukkah. That's already going on. I noticed that just in traffic driving in. It's still awful coming down the 101 North, but it's not as awful as it usually is. Jared Nielsen would agree with me on that. It's still dreadful. But so there's people that are already out of their viewing habits for the holidays, so they're going to stick this game on tonight. But there is something that you have to watch tonight, E. The loser has a path to the first overall pick in the draft. The winner of this game, probably out of the running, considering there's two other teams at 2-12. So it's suck for Marcus tonight. That's how it is.
Sometimes when you win, you actually lose.
That's
tonight
right.
Could be one of those cases.
The race to the bottom has never been more competitive than tonight. Who wouldn't want to watch Jacksonville and in Tennessee tonight? Wiz is going to get bounced after 1 year, it looks like. Let's get you caught up some of the things on my mind in the world of sports, even though I've been going on and on for the last 4 minutes about it. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Yeah, 2 weeks from today, Christmas. Hanukkah going on. Now is the time to head up to the Honda Resort and Casino. Get up to that vacation home that you may have in the White Mountains, that cabin, or if you're going to be doing some camping, take that motorhome up. But swing into the Honda Resort and Casino. It is just outside of Pine Top. If you've never been to the White Mountains of Arizona, you are missing out. You talk about absolutely gorgeous and wonderful people up there, too. The Honda Resort and Casino has great food, great fun, great entertainment. For New Year's Eve, be there at the Honda Resort and Casino as well. All the information at Honda.com. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. So you're saying Christmas is in 2 weeks? Nice.
New Year's.
Oh, New Year's. Okay.
Are you correcting me already?
I am.
I've been off.
It's my job. I'm the producer.
You're not a producer. You're just
a guy.
You're not. You're part of the show.
Producer
sounds too official. Shut up. So I want to start a little bit further with the Cardinals. They're now up to 8. Did the line change at all today? Yesterday, you corrected me from 7 to 8.
No, I don't believe so, but I don't follow that stuff real close.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Not a big gambling guy.
You put down money on this?
No.
Yeah. Thought about it?
No.
Here is Bruce Arians knowing what they're up against this weekend, Cardinals and Seahawks.
I don't think there's any doubt about that, whether they're injured or not. You know, anytime you're an underdog at home, you understand what that means. And you look forward to that challenge. It just adds a little fuel to the fire.
Yeah. Nobody thinks they're going to win this game.
A little fuel to the fire? Come on, Bruce.
Yeah, throw a little bit more gasoline on this. We want a dry Christmas tree with a match in the second week of January still in the living room. That's what we're talking about here. Now, Ryan Lindley, 7 interceptions, no touchdowns, to me is pretty interesting. The Cardinals being able to run the football. This has all the makings, guys, of being 9-6. It does. This is not going to be an aesthetically pleasing game. We have this now on tape, so when the final score is 28-27, you can go back and just rip on me on Monday. But I don't believe that this game is going to be one for the ages if you're into offense. And I'm fine with that. The Rams game a week ago Thursday, last Thursday this time, was terrific. It was, for me, it was great.
And if it is like a 12-10 game,
yeah,
that's a big benefit to the Cardinals because they don't really want the game in the high 20s, I would assume.
I don't think they even want the game in the 20s. Can you see a guy that's never thrown a touchdown pass getting touchdown passes against Seattle? No.
Not really.
No.
And one thing that's kind of interesting, Brad, is that, you know, all this time Bruce Arians has said, we don't care who's back there. We're going to run our offense.
Sure.
We're going to sling it down the field.
Sure.
Gunslinger approach. Do you change it just a little bit? I mean, it's Ryan Lindley. This guy is fresh off the practice squad.
He wasn't that bad, though, in St. Louis. He wasn't that bad. I didn't think.
No, he wasn't that bad. But
he made a couple of decisions that weren't great.
And
you have to believe that I go back to the Tom Moore, Bruce Arians thing. You have to believe those guys are saying, just don't lose the game for us.
But that's the thing. If you test the back half of the Seattle secondary and you throw the ball deep, it's going to be a recipe for interceptions.
Here is Ryan Lindley. He's been preparing for an opportunity like this all year.
Any point in the NFL, if you're trying to extend your career, you're preparing to start every week. So, I mean, I was on practice squad out there, and there obviously was feasibly no chance that I was going to play. But I was going through the game plan and what they did each week and what Phillip did each week. So, you know, he's another one. I learned a ton from being out there with him for 10 weeks. So I think that'll help me get prepared this week to play and be ready to go.
What is cool about this story is if I went and picked up Ryan Lindley and we had a stack of Bibles to give away at Scottsdale Fashion Square, nobody would know who Ryan Lindley is. They would think he was some volunteer. He has his staff that was giving away Bibles during the game last week. Will they do the same thing this week? Hey, right now on Twitter, you can get your Ryan Lindley Bible. What does he see on film from Seattle? Here's more Ryan Lindley.
Great group of guys, great front, athletic group of linebackers, and obviously a good group of guys that can cover. And 29 on the back end is one of the best in the business is what he does. And you just got to be on your P's and Q's. Got to be all over what we do game plan-wise this week, and we'll just let it rip once we get out there.
There's a lot of cliches there. I don't think you should start out by saying great group of guys. Sounds like they're people that you're going to go to the local pub or have a burger with.
Maybe do Bible study. Who knows?
Maybe do Bible study. Show up on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
That'd be cool.
And have a burger. I don't know. It's That's what it sounds like. Here is Richard Sherman on Ryan Lindley and what he knows about Ryan Lindley.
We just study their offense as a whole. You know, we study the concepts they like. We study the plays they like. You know, obviously when Stanton was in there, when Carson was in there, because the plays aren't going to change.
Yeah. So, I mean, essentially, it's, look, it doesn't matter who plays quarterback. We're just going to get after him. I wonder how the Fitz-Richard Sherman matchup. I saw Fitz on Monday. And, yeah, it's a long season. It's a long, long season. I talked to him for a couple of minutes in the locker room. And, man, he looks tired. He just looks tired. And I get it. It's towards the end of the year, and it just may have been Monday morning coming off. But it doesn't mean he's not going to play well. Just the toll of a season. Jay Cutler, boys and girls, is going to make $22.5 million this year to play football. Jay Cutler's $22.5 million this year is more than Russell Wilson, Andrew Luck, Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Mark Sanchez combined. Percolate on that for a couple of minutes when you see players out there in the league. And he's going to sit on the bench. They're not going to start him this week. Jimmy Clausen's going to start. And Jay Cutler is going to make a cool $1.32 million on payday next Monday morning. $1.3 million to sit and watch. Somebody asked me, and it's somebody whose opinion I respect a great deal, and he asked me to not use his name on the show, but he's associated with the NFL, and he asked me, what do you think Bruce Arians and Tom Moore could do, would do with Jay Cutler? Really interesting question to ask, because the easy answer is, are you drunk? I mean, come on. But if you were to look at somebody like that, there's always a group that will say, we can get him fixed. We can get him right. And so I have a great deal of admiration. We've seen what's gone on here with Drew Stanton, with Carson's, I would say Carson, not a reclamation, but Carson has come back in a big way. Someone who's around the NFL asks me, how do you think that would work? It'd be interesting to see what happens in the offseason, because when Carson came here from the Raiders, Eric, it's not the exact same situation. In fact, it's not even close. But Carson, when he was with the Raiders, he was with the Raiders, so he was getting his head kicked in.
Yep.
And he wasn't very good at all.
And he wasn't very good the first 8 weeks last year with the Cardinals, and then it clicked. And ever since then, he's been really good.
Do you think and nobody's going to ask Arians this because he's got his own team to coach and his own set of problems, but do you think a guy like Bruce Arians or Tom Moore sits there and they see Jay Cutler and they say, I could fix that?
I don't know. Different. I mean, you can't compare Carson Palmer to Jay Cutler. They're
not.
Such,
I'm not.
I know, but I'm turning in terms
I'm saying
of
their teachers. Can the teachers fix that mess?
Cutler is such a malcontent. I mean, he seems so disinterested to becoming a better football player. If you watch Monday night, the body language, the pointing to receivers, the shrug of shoulders, the helmet down.
Okay, so why then do I have to have Steve Young and Trent Dilfer tell me he's a great guy, he's just misunderstood, which they did.
I saw it. I saw it.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy. Okay, if he's so great,
that's an ESPN.
Then it's just a mechanical thing, right?
That's an ESPN thing. That's what that is.
Is that the brotherhood?
We're going to pound you on the back, and then we're going to pat you on the back, and then we're going to go back to pounding you on the back.
He's such a great guy. He's so this, he's so that.
Doesn't mean much.
From those two. I have respect for Steve Young. I don't know Trent Dilfer at all. I've
had like
Steve
both
Young
of them.
On before.
I like both of them, and I was really surprised. I mean,
heard that too,
oh,
right?
They went gloves off. I mean, all of them.
Well,
Ray
yeah, no,
Lewis.
They were beating him up, but those two former quarterbacks said he's a great guy, and he's really made progress Monday through Saturday. It's just not equating on Sunday. Okay, well, that tells me that around this league where there's all these guys that can't play dead, that maybe that's somebody that if he had a change of scenery. That's all. I'll ask Jake Plummer about it on the other side. Jake Plummer will join us next. And there's quite a few other things. I'll tell you, the story that I'm all wound up about today is the interview being canceled with Seth Rogen and all that stuff. That we'll talk about that on the other side, too. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Jake Plummer's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. We'll be right back.
Working towards Sunday, the showdown, the Cardinals and Seattle. It's great this late in the season to have such a titanic matchup. Brad Sussmat with you, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Jake Plummer joins us now. Jake Plummer brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Everyone has retirement questions. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura about planning for a more confident retirement. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona. He can be reached at 480-922-4216. 480-922-4216. Jeremy Kitamura, Ameriprise Financial, and Jake Plummer, that's a winning combination. How are you, Jake?
I'm doing good, Brad. I love this time of year. It's fun with kids, especially. It's time of giving gifts and enjoying the holiday spirit, man. How about yourself?
Let me think. I've got a 10-year-old, so I'm still in that wheelhouse. I got two daughters that are teenage, and one just hit 20. They're a little difficult. A 24-year-old son, that's a hard one. Wife, she's always a nightmare to shop for. So, you know, that's my deal. How about you?
I'm good, man. I've got just one or two things I got to do, and get creative on a couple gifts. And other than that, we're all set sending packages out today. So.
You
schedule and enjoying it.
You received a gift from Adidas earlier this week, and it's been all over social media. These sweet looking kicks that you'll. What size are your feet?
Size 12.
Size 12. And you last time you put cleats on was when?
Gosh, I'm not sure when it was. Maybe it was in Sandpoint when I was coaching. And I ran scout team for them before the state finals. They needed a QB that could sling it, so I went out there and put on my cleats.
Yeah. So now you have these cool cleats that Adidas sent you the other day with ASU rebranding. Have you put them on yet?
It really actually came in perfect timing. I was starting to, evolving into taking a lot more reps with some guys, getting ready to make my comeback. And those were perfect timing.
Shut up. Get out of here. What are you, nuts? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you know, these QBs don't get hit these days, man. I took hits like crazy. Go watch a couple clips. And I was getting bashed, and I still got up. You get these guys that take one little – they get tripped, and they have trouble getting up. So, I mean, I know I won't even get hit. And if they do hit me, we'll get a penalty, and it'll be a first down and change the whole makeup of the game. So, you know, I'll just take some good little hits and maybe see what I can do.
There's Jake Plummer making his comeback. What type of shoes? He's already got a shoe deal with Adidas. Those look like Arizona State kicks he's got on over there.
Yeah, they got funny. The Jake the Snake and the snakeskin pattern and the pitchfork. Hey, you know, I don't ask for much. You know, I get a beanie here and there, a pair of shorts from the equipment guys. I'm pretty easy when it comes to that. But those were a pretty cool surprise. I didn't know they were signing with Adidas, but it seems like a good move for ASU. They're going to do a lot of custom stuff for the kids and some good uni combos. And hey, in this day and age, you got to get the gear. Gear is where it starts. But like I said, you look good, you play good. I know guys that I played with at ASU that when their spat was tight, their towel was right, they played outstanding that night. So
listen to
good
you.
Stuff.
Listen to you. We have a picture up on the on the show of this. So who was the sloppiest dresser on game day that you were just like, dude, you've got to get it right here?
Well, I mean, a guy like Juan Roque really never looked good no matter what you did to him. it's why I put all that face paint on it, you know, black face paint on it, trying to distract him from the rest of his body.
Wow.
I could say that now that he's not protecting my blind side, but he knows I got mad love for the big SA. But, there were some sloppy ones. But, you know, the prettiest guy, the guy who always looked tightest was Harlan Rashada. He was a safety number 5. I mean, that guy, you know, you should use him as a model when you wanted to put a uniform on because he knew how to sport a tight uni.
What was it I had Gray on about a month ago, Gray Rugemer, and he gave me the story of the teammate of yours. He wouldn't say who. I think was it a kicker, Eric? I think it was a kicker that he had said that that rode his bike in, and you and all of your manhood after a practice got on the bike seat and rode it around in the locker room. And as Gray so eloquently put it, you were still a little bit dripping wet. Do you remember this story, Jake? Gray really laid you out on that one.
Well, you know what? I'm going to get on Gray because some of that stuff, that needs to stay in the locker room. But I don't mind. You know, at this point in my life, in my career,
sure.
Those kind of things just bring a smile to my face. And really, I was doing that kind of stuff to just loosen the guys up. You know how, I mean, even back then, I say it wasn't as pressure-packed as it is now, but it was pressure-packed. We all were trying to win. We wanted to do right by the team. We cared about our teammates. So that's the pressure that really matters, if anything. And so I do little funny things just to, you know, lighten the mood, get the guys to laugh and lighten up a little bit. Because, you know, everybody has ups and downs during the season and at practices. And, you know, having them, making them laugh always takes the mind off of it. So I do recall that and many other shenanigans I used to pull in the locker room.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a true story. I'll go with that one.
Gray's a pretty honest man. I'd say I'd probably trust what he was saying, and I need to get the inside scoop on exactly how into detail he went, but I'll do that off the air.
Yeah, yeah. Out at Southern Dunes or something. I got you. Jake Plummer with us, brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. I was just out at Southern Dunes and dropped your name out.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you'll be all right. Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura and company bring you Jake Plummer every week. Okay, so let's do a little bit of a word association here. I'm not looking for long, drawn-out thoughts. I just want to know what pops into your head when I say Ryan Lindley.
Oh, man. Good luck.
Jay Cutler.
Struggling.
Geno Smith.
Young.
Michael Vick.
Stellar.
What was that one?
Stellar.
Stellar?
Yeah, that dude's sick. Even today, watching him do stuff, he does it like I've never seen it. When he spins that thing lefty, it's get out of the way.
Tony Romo.
Doing it.
Doing it. Mm. Russell Wilson.
Phenomenal.
Taylor Kelly.
Spud.
Which means?
Not from Idaho.
I know that, but he's not just a spud. First thing that pops in your head is he's a potato guy? I mean, come on.
Yeah, man, that's just that's how it is. He'll always be. That's where he's from, and that's what the connection is there, man.
How will he be as a pro? Or will he be a pro?
He has a shot, but, you know, there's a lot of carryover that needs to happen, a lot of learning, a lot of work he needs to do with his feet. Getting under center, and he's athletic enough. I know that he can do it. It's just those reps and games have to come. It's gonna, you know, I don't think he's gonna step into the league and dominate. But if he gets with the right coach, a coach that can teach, that can help a kid evolve and learn the game, not just expect him to come in and know exactly what to do, then I think he has a chance. He's got it mentally, and he's got it in his heart, and those are things you can't coach a kid to do. But he's got that. I mean, that's like, you know, Jay Cutler could use a little of what Taylor Kelly has, and I think he'd be doing really, really well. So, you know, you get kids that have it, heart and heart-wise and all that, maybe not all the skill set, but those are the dudes I think that can make it if they get good coaching.
Do you think then, you do believe he can play in the NFL, but it's got to be the right situation? That's the case for like 99.9% of these quarterbacks, but his skill set at the next level, how much work does he need to do here in the next few months, Jake? Does he have to do a complete makeover? Do you think he's close?
No, I don't think so. You don't ever want to make over a quarterback completely. I mean, what he's done his whole career has been effective. Look what he's accomplished. So you don't change that, but he's got to, you know, I believe it's just different. What they're doing at ASU, out of shotgun all the time, and the pistol, and play, and the read zone, you have to be able to look downfield as you take a drop over your left shoulder and read the safeties and not look at the offense, but look at the defense. And that just is mental reps. It's actual live reps and working on getting a quicker release. And that stuff's just repetitions. Mm-hmm. Being a QB is boring at times. It's just doing the same old thing every single time to where it's second nature. And it's just repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. And he just needs to get after it. I think he has a shot.
Have you ever seen him at the board? And how does he do at the board?
I know he's got intelligence. He knows the game. He's extremely smart when it comes to X's and O's. I mean, he could be a coach right now if he wanted to. So, mm-hmm. You know, that sometimes can be somewhat of a hindrance at times if you know too much, you know, going into a game. I mean, unless you're Peyton Manning and you're predicting you're dictating to the defense what they do, you know, that's just, those guys come around once in a while. You know, guys like Manziel, guys like Russell Wilson, they know what the play is going to be, but we're not sure what they're going to do, but their reactionary skills far exceed any of the reactionary skills of a guy like a Peyton, because they can move and create extra time. So Taylor can do that. He's just got to, you know, get after it and believe, you know, and trust himself, trust in his abilities, and just look for that one place to get to, and that's just needs one guy to like him.
A couple of years ago, you worked with who was it? You worked with
Colin Klein.
Yeah, you worked. Would you do the same thing with Taylor?
And drop of a hat, you know. I mean, he's in Arizona and I'm in Colorado, but I've already I haven't talked to him yet because they still have a game to play. But when that's done, I'm going to be in Arizona quite a bit. I'll be there for the Super Bowl and got some stuff happening down there. So I plan on whenever I'm down there working with him for a couple hours, just you know. I don't want to change what he does, but I can help him be more efficient and give him a shot, you know?
What advice would you give Ryan Lindley this week?
God, just go out and play ball and don't worry about it. You know, you're in the league for a reason, and trust in the guys around you. Anticipate them getting open. Don't wait to see them open, but see the defense and see where they're at and know that if Larry Fitzgerald's running a read route, he's going to get open, so don't wait. Trust your instincts and throw it where you think you're going to go, and have fun. God dang, what an awesome experience and an opportunity for this young man to go out and play well and lead this team, a really tough-nosed team that believes in each other. And you know what? If they can beat Seattle, then people will finally start believing because Seattle is a damn good team.
You did the first game, right, with Larry
yep.
Kahn. You did that. And Fitz did not play in that first game.
Yeah. It hurt him.
Right. And there was the drop touchdown in the end zone by Jerron Brown in that game, if we remember
yep.
correctly. So it wasn't like it was blowout city. There were mistakes, and the best receiver was not on the field. I think this is a 9-6 game on Sunday night. I think if it's in the 20s, the Cardinals are going to be in trouble. Ryan Lindley's never thrown a touchdown. He has 7 picks. I can't see Seattle giving up 2 or 3 scores through the air. What do you think the breakdown of the game is?
I think they go after him and throw the deep ball. Well, you got a third stringer. I mean, you don't go into there and have this kid pick the defense apart. He's not going to go in there and go 22 or 25 for 220 yards. I mean, you want to go 13 or 26 or 13 or 28 for 310 and throw that ball deep. Take some shots. In this day and age, there's going to be a penalty called on the defense, most likely. Hopefully you get a completion, and if not, the worst that could happen is they intercept it on a deep ball, so it's a change of field position, and with their defense, don't be scared of that. And I'd go right after him. I'd take 10, 15 shots deep, go routes, post routes, let Michael Floyd, let those guys get open deep, John Brown, those guys can do it. Let them do it, and then trust in Larry Fitzgerald to get open when you need him. And that's what they didn't have in Seattle, was that outlet. And Stanton, you saw him struggling, looking for a guy to be open.
Mm-hmm.
And where's Larry? Larry wasn't there. But I think if he's there this game, that's his safety. That's a safety valve. And go out there and play fearless. There's nothing to lose. You're in the playoffs. There's nothing to lose. Go out there and have fun.
One last question. We'll let Jake Plummer go. Do you like the fact that Bruce Arians has acknowledged that they have a package for Logan Thomas, or do you think you've got to just stick with Lindley from start to finish?
Not. I mean, at this point, if you got something that Logan Thomas is good at and can do, put him in there. Good Lord. I mean, if you can get him to get a couple first downs, why wouldn't you put him in there? Let him get his feet wet. Let him get reps at in a time that it doesn't matter if they lose. Everybody's making this the biggest game in Cardinals history. And I'm a little fed up with the preemptive FSU Oregon game is already going to be the most epic game ever played. And we got 3 weeks to go. I mean, God, you guys shut up about it. And analyze it, but don't call it anything greater than what it is. It's a football game, and that's all it is. So they lose, they're still in the playoffs. The Cardinals are in the playoffs, people. This doesn't happen every year. So whether they win at home or not, they're in. They got a second chance. The new season begins when the season's over, and that's all you want. But if they can beat Seattle, awesome. This could be a huge game down the road.
If they beat them, they're home throughout the playoffs. If they lose, they get an all-expense-paid trip to New Orleans, which makes zero sense to me, but that's another topic for another day.
Yeah, New Orleans, a losing season, going to make it.
Brutal.
That's crazy.
Brutal. I'll let you go off that. I'll talk next week. Thanks.
Awesome, Brad. Have a good one, man. Thanks.
You too. See you. It's Jake Plummer every week. Jake Plummer brought to you by Ameriprise Financial. Ameriprise Financial, and it's a great segment with Jake every week. Ask Ameriprise Financial Advisor Jeremy Kitamura about planning for a more confident retirement. Jeremy's office is in Scottsdale, Arizona. He can be reached at 480-922-4216, 480-922-4216.
One of these days, I think it would be cool if, before we start the segment, I just pretty much tell Jake, just pretend like you and Brad are at a sports bar. Just talk like you guys are.
That's
in a sports
what we
bar.
Do.
But I mean, unfiltered. Just completely unfiltered.
Oh, so just drop the bombs and
sure.
everything.
Sure. Because you know, I mean, you can just tell by the way
he's
Jake
that
talks.
Close.
He is the he
he's
is
that close.
He is the, what you see is what you get. I'm going to call it as I see it, and
no,
that's
it's
what
fine.
That's what makes Jake so special. I mean,
it's
he's
fine.
Unique in his own way. Gives a very different perspective.
On the other side, so the Suns played last night. I went on a rant about them yesterday that pissed off some of you, and I'm not quite sure why that would be. Also, we don't have Goody today. I actually wish we had Bill today, because the story today nationally is about a movie being canceled. The interview with Seth Rogen has been canceled, and the impact of that. And that's on my mind, too, outside of the sports world. And some other things, too. But on the other side, we'll get into the Suns a little bit further. More on the Cardinals and Jim Harbaugh's future, and some baseball stuff, too. I'm Brad Sussmat. Busy, busy Thursday. Sports360AZ.com. Also, the impact of Christian Kirk not going to ASU. I didn't get into that yesterday. That's all straight ahead.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at Sports360AZ.com.
I'm kind of bothered today by the story of the interview. If you think about it, in our country, first of all, it was a bad idea for Sony to do a story around the death of Kim Jong-un. It was just bad. It was a bad storyline. I think the president of Sony has to go. But the national and actually worldwide story today, because this is Sony that has been brought to their knees by being hacked. North Korea denounced the interview. Earlier this month, they said they might hack it. I've seen enough stories today that it leads everyone to believe that the hacking did come from North Korea, and that Seth Rogen's life and Evan Goldberg, who directed this as well, their lives are actually in jeopardy. James Franco on this.
That's a dangerous game that they're playing. I mean, I don't really understand why. I saw the preview a couple months ago. It just didn't look like something I'd want to see. And now with all the uproar.
And they've canceled this movie altogether.
They have.
There's
they
actually
have.
A death scene that leaked online of Kim Jong-un. The death scene from the interview has been leaked out. And I wanted to talk to Bill today about it. I know Bill's on tomorrow, but when you start taking this step, and Hollywood's got to circle the wagons. We do some movies for fun because guys are guys here. We have our sports. We laugh. We scratch. We like to go work out. We like to play video games. We like to be entertained by going to movies. And
yeah, I saw one last night, by the way.
What'd you see?
Top Five with Chris Rock.
And?
Really good.
Yeah?
Really good.
Bill liked it. I've not had time. I did not want to see the interview. I didn't. We get these movie invites to go see them a few weeks before they come out so that they can get a review and an audience for that. And I like to go to those. There wasn't one that I saw, and I'm not a Seth Rogen guy. It's not been my cup of tea. But they pushed this movie really hard during the summer. I think it was during the All-Star break is when they first started pushing it. And the baseball All-Star break. And then during the football season, it started to pick up momentum. And now this movie that we were all, I won't say we, but the many people were looking forward to seeing has been cut, not even going to be released now. So that's on my mind today. Christian Kirk going to Texas A&M over ASU. So we had the press conference yesterday, and there's a lot of fallout to that. This is not the end of the world for Todd Graham, but it clearly shows that in our state, the borders aren't closed. This has always been an issue in the state of Arizona. Let's keep our top high school players at home. Very seldom do they want to stay at home. Why is that? Yeah, you can get this five-star this and this four-star that, but facts are facts. Kids leave. Jim Mora makes and Kevin Sumlin have made a pretty good living. David Shaw of coming down here and pulling guys out of our state and getting them away from ASU and U of A. This isn't just an ASU thing. Am I disappointed in Christian Kirk? No, he wanted to get away. He wanted to go someplace. I think Kevin Sumlin's not going to be his coach by the time he finishes his career there. There are guys at skill positions that usually do really well if he's an interior lineman. I use Christian Westerman as an example quite often over at ASU. Number one rated kid, leaves Hamilton, goes to Auburn, doesn't get a cent, comes back here, sits out a year, plays at ASU. Could the same thing happen with Christian Kirk? Could the same thing happen with the quarterback Kyle Allen? Eventually, guys, you got to convince these top flight players to stay here. But what is it? You know, to me, this is just me. I have never been to a Texas A&M game.
I have.
Okay. The atmosphere at ASU against Notre Dame felt very 1990s-ish. The stadium feels 1970s-ish. And there's not really the best vibe in the world. They're trying. This is not bashing the current group. But the 20 years where this program just was left a flail on the ground like a fish caught at Lake Powell that you want to throw back in. If you're a high school kid and you really do take in everything that's out there, you tell me a game day experience when they run out on the field at Texas A&M versus running out on the field against Washington State.
Oh, I'll run this one by you, Brad.
Sure.
So last year, before Kyle Allen decided he was going to go to Texas A&M, he and Christian went out when Johnny Football was there for the spring game. And they had 55,000 people at Kyle Field for their spring game.
50,000 people for the spring
game. For the spring game.
On the same field they play their games.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. The game day atmosphere at Kyle Field is one of the best in the country. I mean, they just expanded the stadium. The stadium is always sold out. There is such a passion.
It's 100,000, right?
100,000 people. There is such a deep passion for it. People that are disappointed that Christian Kirk didn't go to ASU need to, in all fairness to ASU, just have a reality check. I mean, kids want to play the best. SEC is the best conference. The Pac-12 is not far behind.
However, okay, that said.
And he has a great relationship. I mean, he's been playing Pop Warner football with Kyle Allen since they were little kids. And when I talked to Kyle last spring, I asked him, so, you know, what do you think? Is you going to be throwing to Kirk here in a couple of years? And he kind of gave me that smile and that little nod like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he's coming.
Okay, but Eric, that said, Kyle Allen was not given the starting quarterback job this year. And they're bringing in a stud. So if you're Christian Kirk and you're basing your comfort level based off of Kyle Allen, you're going to be let down.
That's part of it. That's not all of it. That's part of it. I don't know. I haven't talked to Christian since he made the decision, so yeah. I don't know what the deciding factor was.
Here's the thing for ASU fans.
It'd be one thing. I mean, if he went to Iowa over ASU, or if he went to Vanderbilt, or if he went to, you know, another not power program, it'd be like, come on, why are you not going
to
ASU?
Texas A&M got their tails kicked this year.
They did. They did. They had a disappointing season.
I would say they're on par with ASU in terms of football programs. Okay?
I would agree with that.
Okay, in terms of football programs. In terms of the stadium and all that stuff that goes around it, yeah, ASU is miles behind. U of A is miles and miles behind.
Both teams making progress, but
making
slow progress.
But look, if you leave the house unkept, which is what Greg Byrne inherited and which is what Steve Patterson before Ray got here, what he inherited, I mean, Lisa was just like checked out. It was fine. There was nothing going on. And I still hear some stories on the game day operations side that things still have to get worked out and worked through. Okay, I get that.
And both programs have made great strides. Let's not sugarcoat
that.
This.
You've said
I mean,
that.
They're so far ahead. Each team has a Pac-12 South title the last 2 years.
But that still doesn't equate it, when the next great one comes along. Okay, the junior class doesn't have a Christian Kirk in it that I've seen or that I've heard.
Nope.
The sophomore class doesn't have a Christian Kirk that I've heard or Brett Hundley. There's a nice quarterback. There's a couple of nice quarterbacks that are out there, but there's nobody that's going to cause the fan base to get all up in arms. So what can you continue to do here? You know, that's the bottom line. What can you do to convince kids to stay here when they're at the top of the line? And that's a problem that I see. The Suns last night, they did what they were supposed to do, and that's beat Charlotte. I don't care if the Suns had lost six games in a row, and I'm really not happy with the makeup of this team. The Isaiah Thomas angle that we talked about yesterday on this show, last night he had 23. And he played about 28 minutes, if I remember right, seeing the box score. Last year he averaged almost 35 minutes per game. He is this year at, Paul Coro had this note, this year he's at 23.8 minutes per game. Isaiah Thomas is one of these guys that is about Isaiah Thomas, okay? This is one of those teams that as I see the way that it's set up, you have all these kids that they've just drafted that they're trying to figure out either in their rookie year or in their first year. Then you have this group of players, it's kind of well, we're kind of in. Yeah, we're a good grunt guy, PJ Tucker, except when he's driving in the middle of the night in Scottsdale and blowing a number. Come on. But you've tied some money up on him. It's a grunt guy, though. Then you have guys like Bledsoe and Isaiah Thomas, who to me look like they're on completely different islands, completely different corporations. And those corporations start with Bledsoe and Thomas. And oh, by the way, they end with Bledsoe and Thomas. And so the chemistry just isn't there. And they win last night. They were down 17 and just looked horrendous. I watched part of it and it was just, God, it was bad. They play the Knicks, who are beyond horrendous. If you want to see a sad case in life, watch Amari on Saturday. It's a day game. Now, he's sad in this case. He was so good and so talented, and his knees have failed him. He is bathing in red wine, though, and I'm not joking about that. He's doing these red wine baths, and he's getting paid gobs and gobs of money. He could take baths in his money if he wanted to. So I don't feel sorry for him in that sense. But he can't move. When I've watched the Knicks this year, it is just like watching me at a YMCA with both my knees needing to be replaced. It's awful. But he's getting a good check. There's nothing wrong with that. The segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. My Santan Ford experience is going to be like this. Heading to Disneyland, taking the kids. Have not been in a while. Got the daughter home, had the ACL surgery, and she needs a break. 10-year-old, he needs a break. It's the end of the semester. Wife needs a break. Other daughter needs a break. So we're going to hop into the Explorer here over the holidays, and we're going to head across and go do Disneyland. Why not? Who doesn't want to do Disneyland when it is around Christmas? All right, it's going to be a great time. We'll go see some family, some friends. We'll pack up our golf clubs. We'll go chase a little white pill around, and we'll do so in the comfort in the Explorer that we have. We traded in our Expedition at Santan Ford. It had a lot of miles on it. It had been great for our family through the years of soccer and swim and volleyball and all those things you do when your kids are in their teenage years. Now we have just one. And we said, let's get the Explorer. So it makes a lot of sense for us in the Sesmat household when we do that cross the state trip. Now, how about you for the holidays? Guys, you're coming into this weekend and you may be thinking, I've got to drive next week. I've got to head out next week for the holidays in a vehicle that I really don't like, that I really don't fit in, that I'm really not comfortable with, that has a lot of miles on it. It's the end of the year. It's a perfect time to see General Manager Tim Hovick and company at Santan Ford. Perfect time. It is all about you, he likes to say. And at Santan Ford, you can get into that new vehicle, that certified pre-owned like we did. Made a lot of sense for us from a budget standpoint. That's at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it's all about you. Back with more after this time out. Still to come, Brock Huard, ESPN college football analyst. So Brock Huard's coming up in about 7-8 minutes, ESPN college football analyst. He also has a daily show in Seattle. He joins us quite often on the show. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360, AZ.com. What bowl games is Brock doing?
The most important one, the Peach Bowl, TCU Ole Miss.
He's doing that game, huh?
Yeah, with Tim Tebow doing sidelines. Wonderful. Great. Can't you tell my excitement?
You're a little bitter about that.
It's fine.
I'm just wondering, is he going to come in with all the pom-poms about the Seahawks?
I don't think so.
He usually does.
No.
He does. He's a Seattle honk.
He's a former Seahawk.
No, but he's one of these guys who's hosted, he has a daily show, and he's got to be all positive and lovey-dovey, and everything's great, or otherwise the organization calls him and whines.
They do a lot of Seahawks up there. Boy, talk about the passion.
You know, I hear his show. He does quite a bit on the Mariners, too, though.
Really?
Yeah, there's really good balance. It's not just let's cram NFL down your throat 24/7. There's actually some balance there, which is refreshing. So some college stuff and some baseball that caught my eye. And we'll talk with Brock a little bit more about the college stuff here in a few minutes and also the Cardinals game. Remember I sent a tweet out earlier this week on Pitt. Their coach left to go to Wisconsin. So they hired an interim coach. This is when we talk about, guys, you're sitting there watching sports thinking, I could do a better job than this guy. You're not that far off. I mean, there's guys I know that have left their dentist practice, that have left their legal practice, that have left very safe, secure jobs because yeah, they made money and they're miserable. They're just miserable. And they'd rather go make nothing and live out of a box and be in sports. Let me give you another example of somebody that just couldn't figure it out, gets paid a lot of jack, and it's the University of Pitt all the way across the board. So Pitt has named an interim football coach, Joe Rudolph. Since 2010, Joe Rudolph is now the seventh coach for Pitt Panther football. And it's 2015 we're coming up to. Seven. You can't get it right after one, two, three, five, seven guys you've had to run through.
In the history of their program?
No, since 2010.
Oh, since 2010. Sorry.
Since 2010. Seven guys, Eric.
Eek.
And so people wonder why they're a mess. Then you have Michigan. Okay, so Jim Harbaugh, this six-year, $49 million offer. Here is Adam Schefter from ESPN. And Adam is plugged into the agents. Agents feed him. That's how it works.
He's also a Michigan alum, hint, hint.
Well, there you go. Harbaugh is weighing his options.
Nobody expects him back with the 49ers. The question is whether he wants to remain in the NFL and coach another team, or does he want to change directions, leave the West Coast, go to the Midwest, go to college, and start there?
Can I see him doing the coffee cake routine and eating really bad chicken and lasagna, doing the circuit in January with mom and dad and pretending to be really interested? I don't know. Here's more Adam Schefter. Does Michigan have a legit shot for Jim Harbaugh?
Speaking to various people connected to the Michigan program, speaking to various people who know Jim Harbaugh, they say he is, quote unquote, considering Michigan. Now, what does considering mean? Another person who is close to this whole situation told me that it was possible that Michigan could land Jim Harbaugh, but he didn't think it would happen ultimately.
Considering possible, meaning I really don't know. This is a very fluid situation. There are people that are lying to me because they want Jim Harbaugh to get a bigger number here. Jim Harbaugh is going to come down with a contract financially. Would he eclipse Nick Saban financially? And Nick's the highest paid coach on the college ranks at Alabama. Would Jim Harbaugh eclipse him if he went to Michigan based on all these NFL teams that are going to drive up the number?
And consider this too, Brad. Okay, we're in the heart of the recruiting season. Okay, so Michigan has not really
been
recruiting at all. They've already had a couple of four-star kids that have flipped. One is going to Ohio State. And whoever the head coach is, there's not a lot left there in Michigan. So not only are you behind the eight ball because you're behind Ohio State, they're going to have a very small recruiting class, and there's not a lot of leftover talent to begin with. So whoever comes in there is going to have to get to work like ASAP.
Well, it's also a program that is not what it once was.
Nope, and you can tell by the attendance.
No,
Michigan is not even selling out games anymore.
I remember
when
Notre Dame got their TV contract on NBC, and people were just angry, jealous, and it was like, oh, big almighty Notre Dame. Notre Dame now is they need to be affiliated with a conference, and they're not. They're nowhere near the once prestigious program that they were. And the Notre Dame alums get all worked up when I go on this rant, but it's true, okay? It's a fact. You are no longer the dominant that you were in the 90s and 80s. Your television deal is on a traditional over-the-air outlet. Not that big of a deal as it once was. It's a fact. Deal with it. Michigan is in the same boat. Michigan's just a program in the Big Ten. They're no longer, if you talked about the top 10 programs in college football, they're nowhere to be found. You can't say that they're a better program, you can't say that Arizona State and Arizona are better programs than Michigan. You cannot say that yet because there is the history and tradition and heritage. Okay. But both those programs are certainly right there and sniffing on the backside, moving up the ladder of that program. The Big Ten is not what it once was. It just isn't. And anybody tries. So if you go get Harbaugh, but if Miami wants Harbaugh and the Jets want Harbaugh and the Raiders want Harbaugh and the Bears want Harbaugh, the price tag is going to go up, 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 up. And Jim Harbaugh is just going to sit back and say, you know what? We're going to get our butts kicked here in San Francisco and I'm going to be just about fine. Or better than fine. He may be the highest paid coach in college football if he goes that direction. Brock Huard's on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Off we go into hour number two, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Brad Sussmat with you. Brock Huer joins us for a couple of minutes here to kick off hour number two, ESPN college football analyst. And, of course, he has his daily show in Seattle, ESPN Radio. Before I get into the bowl game stuff, happy holidays to you and yours. Are you done shopping? All the important stuff. Let's get it out of the way first.
No. Tonight's a big night. Tomorrow, I'm taking each of my kids out kind of individually. So I'm not just doing it in one day. I'm calling it the Holy Trinity of family shopping.
Holy Trinity feels
invested in mom and buying for mom. I only have to buy it for my wife. So it's nice. So, yeah, it's been good. I got one day down, two to go.
What do you want?
What do I want?
Yeah, what do you want?
Nothing, man.
Shut up. Get out of here. What are you talking about? Every guy wants something.
Just Starbucks gift cards. That's about it.
That's it? A Starbucks gift card.
Pretty easy, man.
Yeah,
got enough shirts and ties now.
I know you're big time.
I think enough dress shoes. No, I'm pretty good. Just Starbucks gift cards. Keep it rolling.
We make that happen. speaking of ties and shirts and all that stuff, so you just came from Bristol, 3 days at ESPN. Are you working on all your bowl game prep for TCU Ole Miss?
I sure am. In fact, there's nothing like eating up cross-country flights like game tape. And I was Ed Cunningham, who's an old Husky and a friend of mine, great guy. And I think he's a really smart guy. And we were chatting just about doing our job. And it's been, I think this is my eighth or ninth year at ESPN, Ed's like 16th. And we were talking about the difference of doing our work pre-coaching tape and doing our work now with the access and the analysts. They give, I don't know, a couple dozen of us analysts at ESPN access to the coach's film, and it is so drastically different. And, man, my flights get eaten up because yesterday, I mean, I spent all 6.5 hours connecting through wherever, Chicago, from Hartford to Chicago, Chicago to Seattle, just watching about five of those games of Ole Miss and TCU, and, man, is it going to be a really good game, because that coach's tape, that eye in the sky, it really doesn't lie. It exposes weaknesses and really promote strengths, and it's going to be a really, really good matchup.
The weakness of Ole Miss is?
Their offensive line's really, really average, and their left guard is out, Morris, with a torn ACL, and they're not a real good group in that way, and Bo Wallace, when he gets pressure, is good Bo or bad Bo, so there's a chance to get after him.
TCU's weakness, because it's easy to talk strengths, TCU's weakness is?
They don't have too many, man. That's a big reason why they were in the conversation at the end of the year. It's just their overall caliber, I think, of size, strength, speed when matching up with an SEC foe. And Boykin has never felt what he's going to feel from that Ole Miss front. He's not played anybody this year where he's going to feel. I was telling this story to somebody the other day that when I played Nebraska my last year of school, no, it was my second to last year at Washington, they had Grant Wistrom on one side, Rucker on the other, Christian Peter in the middle. And I remember the feeling of just Brahma Bulls just huffing and puffing and breathing down my neck, and just that it was totally different. I mean, they just collapse, they suffocate, they dominate, and Boykin is going to feel with that front of Ole Miss the speed they have, the strength, the ferocity. So, yeah, his O-line, not a great matchup. Nobody's is. That's one of the best front sevens in all of college football, and there are going to be some havoc breathing down Boykin's lap.
ESPN college football analyst Brock Huer with Brad Sussmat. He will be doing the analyst work of TCU Ole Miss in the Peach Bowl. Eric mentioned that Tim Tebow is going to be working with you. Have you spent some time with Mr. Tebow, and how is that?
I have. This will be a little different. So we'll have the Alamo a couple days later, which will be great. Another really good matchup. Don't ask me about that yet, because I'm not dug into the Kansas State UCLA film. But for this one, and Tim and I did two or three things this year with the SEC Nation, and Joe Tessitore, obviously the face of the SEC Nation. So he was with Tim every single weekend, and the times I've worked with Tim, he's been great. He is so invested and so in. But it will be a little different with two fast-paced teams. These are two no-huddle teams that like to play fast. Two left-handed quarterbacks probably watching very similar things. So, yeah, to fit that in and kind of get into rhythm in our booth, there'll be a little bit of an adjustment there, but it'll be fun, and I think it will only add to more eyes and more intrigue and more exposure and all that's real good stuff.
Yeah, there's a pro football team that could use a quarterback. I don't know if you have any eligibility left or if Tim wants to, but down here it's no touchdown, 7 interception, Ryan Lindley this week.
Yeah. How you feeling about that?
On the surface, the easy narrative is they're going to get run over like a freight train. I, you know, Brock, it's the old deal.
No, they're not.
It's a puncher's chance. In this league, it's a puncher's chance. And if the game is above 20, they're done. There's not a chance if they're above 20 that they're going to win this game. I actually like Ryan Lindley. I didn't think he was horrible against St. Louis, given the situation. Fitz didn't play in the first game up there. Jerron Brown drops a touchdown that you should have caught. And Seattle was just starting to find themselves. I mean, obviously down here, it's the biggest game in the history of the Cardinals this week. You know, I mean, that's, every week has been that narrative. And I try to remind people, I don't know, they went to the Super Bowl. So let's just tap the brakes a little bit. They're already in the playoffs. You win the game, you're home throughout. You don't win the game, you get an all-expense-paid trip to New Orleans for some ungodly reason that the NFL hasn't laid out that way. So, yeah, there's a lot at stake. But I don't sit here and look at – I look at two great defenses and I see 9-6. I don't know. What do you see? What
do
you
see? Yeah, I see a team that I sure enjoyed Bruce Arians' comments yesterday, and we played it a bunch on our show
He's
this
great.
Morning. And I think it's the I think he provides more bulletin board material than any coach in the league, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And in many ways, honestly, Brad, who he is Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman and that Legion of Boom. That is exactly who your head coach is. And Pete is a lot of that. He just doesn't express it as openly as his players do in those ones I just referenced.
Sure.
And as much as Bruce Arians does. And when he says, listen, we sacked Russell 7 times the last time we played him a month ago, should have had 11, he's not exaggerating. I mean, that's a defensive line that has faced this starting pitcher a few times and feels great about it. Not Russell Wilson, but feels great about those five guys who can't, I don't think, can line up and block him in the passing game at all. So this comes and will be all about Russell Wilson's 6 or 7 plays that either he makes and they score 20 and they win 20-10, or he doesn't make and this becomes a real closely contested fourth quarter possession or two field goal kind of game. And for primetime football, the whole country gets to watch the two best heavyweights in the game just throw haymakers at one another. It'll be pretty fun.
Did Tom Moore work with you?
He did, but I don't know if he knew I was left-handed. So I sat in a meeting with him every. I sat in a meeting with him every day, and
you
didn't catch that the first time around, did you?
That's funny.
The second time.
That's funny.
Yeah, for 2 years, I've used that line before. So
that's funny.
And it works every time. But for 2 years, yes, I was in Indy.
Sure.
And it was Peyton's world,
sure.
And I was there, rightfully so, trying to just fit in and do my part, but. When I would get into games or preseason, most of the stuff was still called right-handed. So Tom and I ran into each other afterwards a bunch, and what a great guy and fun guy. And much like Bruce Arians, I can remember one time, I forget, I think it was a Jets game we were playing, and we're in film room the next day, and we're like at the 2-yard line, right, ahead, and he's like, I don't care. I'm not going to be a sissy. I'm going to call when I want to call, when I want to call, wherever we are on the field, right? Just that same just slinger mentality that really Bruce Arians brings, and you can see the kindred relationship spirits that they are and why he's on the staff down there.
Well, Cassie, let me bring this to the point. I'll let you go off this, and I'd like your thought. Ryan Lindley probably, I don't know this as fact, but Ryan Lindley probably got a phone call Tuesday night from Tom Moore saying, hey, we see some things on film that we really like. We think we can put you in positions to succeed. Just don't make the big mistake. Don't make the big play. In short, he's a comfort level. And that's why when I look at Sunday's matchup, you have Bruce Arians, you have Tom Moore, you have some veteran guys there, Brock, that I think can help Ryan Lindley along. And you've been there with Moore. Am I overstating his importance, or do you see it the same way?
No, I think that there is some relationship there. I think it much more is the head coach because he's the play caller. And I would only kind of correct one thing there from what I know of Tom and absolutely the sense and feel I get from Arians. I don't think they're looking at the negative. I don't think you're going to want to put any of that thought in this guy's head of, hey, let's just not make mistakes and we're not going to ask you to do too much. From what I was around with Tom and what I feel and sense from Arians, it's not going to be thinking of anything negative whatsoever. We're going to run it. We're going to take shots. You can throw it through the wall, and we're going to let you just take those shots down the field. We hit them. We only have to hit a couple of them. Seattle's not going to run up and down this field. Hey, Ryan, man, you're going to hit a couple shots. You have the talent to do it. Let's go win this thing. And then all of a sudden you're going to be, you know, just a cult hero for coming in off the streets and getting it done. I think that's probably more of the conversation. But before we go, I got to pull a Brad Sessmat on you.
Yeah,
I'm going to turn around real quickly because you love to do this.
Yeah.
Do this to me, and I love it when you do it.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad.
Yes.
Mariota.
Yeah.
Winston. Who's your pick?
Mariota.
You got the number one pick.
Mariota.
You got the number one pick. Who is it?
Mariota. Winston. Mariota.
Because?
Because Winston's a nightmare. And I'm not going to put my organization in jeopardy because. How's that?
That's really good, man. You know what? We're going to have a lot of that conversation, not just you.
Oh, my gosh, Brock.
Because I was shocked. No, Brad. I was shocked. Everybody at ESPN I ran into, Golic and Colin Cowherd and Greenberg and all these guys on the radio end, and even some of the TV guys, Chris Carter. Oh, no doubt, Winston. Not even a question.
Are you kidding me?
No, I am 100%.
Now, are you in my camp? Or are we on the same page here or not?
I am in your camp every day and twice on every Sunday. Where hurting your football team is such a huge part of playing that position. One guy does it and has done it when it comes to turnovers and taking care of the ball and everything else. And one guy is the best in the business at it and not hurting the team. That's Mariota. So now, no question for me. But you just wait. You just wait for all the conversation that's coming ahead in that one.
I heard a couple of Nashville guys couldn't even pronounce Mariota's name correctly, so I know what's coming.
Mariota.
Is Harbaugh going to go to Michigan, in your opinion, by the way, before I let you go?
I think he should.
Could he eclipse Nick financially if he goes and gets that job?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, they have the money to do it. And if I'm Jim Delaney and the head of the Big Ten Conference, I'm calling Michigan saying, hey, I can't do anything here, but can you imagine a Harbaugh and Antonio and Meyer and James Franklin conversation every week? You want to get us back into some prominence, not only just with play on the field, but conversation? That'd be a good way to do it.
Thank you, Brock. Stay well.
See you, Brad.
Brock Huard for a couple of minutes. There you go, ESPN college football analyst. Always good to have Brock Huard with us. That was strong.